path to God, opportunity for our lives to be transformed. The Bible says that be thou transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's very key to what we're going to be looking at in this new year. I'm just hoping that I'm believing that we're going to be able to go as far as God wants us to go. I believe that will be possible, and believing that every one of us participating as well would have a dramatic change, a specific change in our lives in the name of Jesus. One of the signs of spiritual growth is the desire to always learn. Whenever we find ourselves in a place where we feel, I really don't think I need that anymore, it's a place of decline. There's never a time or whenever experience you will ever, however, a place you'll ever get to, and you realize that, oh, now I think I've gotten to the final peak. I need quietness and faith and divine, no moving around. We now realize that we've got to the final peak. That's when people start to decline. You know, it's a place of plateau. When you get to a particular place, some people have come to a certain level in their level of knowledge and they don't take in anything anymore. They just begin to go down. As Christians, we must continually desire to grow. No one has arrived. The Bible, Apostle Paul said that, you know, irrespective of what I've achieved, I still pursue. I still have to attain. I still have to go further. And this is a man who, by the Spirit of God, has written or has had several encounters with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus Christ. Yet, he said that I may know thee. He still had that desire in him to know him. You can never get to a place where you say you know everything about God. We may come to a place where we know everything about our organization, First Care Gospel Church, as an example. We know everything about our structures. We know everything about our leadership, but everything about our administration, but we would never get to a place where we know everything about the move of God. Praise the Lord. That's the reason why every opportunity we have, no matter how short or how long it is, if we're interested and we're sincere, God would commit himself to us because he said, when we seek him, we'll find him. He will definitely speak to us. He will definitely minister to us. You know, sometimes as a family, we don't always have the time to do a very lengthy devotion. But when we have the time to do sometimes a very short one, no matter how small it is, how short it is, we always take something out. It may be just one particular verse of scripture that we are expanding upon, but then it begins to expand. Different, you know, dimensions come into it. An example again this morning. What was it we're having this morning? What was the topic again this morning? I think we're looking at the issue of, was it faith? I just wanted to use that as an example to see one thing that, you know, came up from that particular study. And one of the things that I want us to be doing during our Bible studies, I want us to come up with, you know, anything you've learned in your personal time, in your in your personal devotion or anything, I feel it's going to be a blessing to us. Please oblige, we'll oblige you the opportunity to share it so that we can all be blessed. We're talking about God's word as a weapon. And we realize that, you know, everything that God has said, was that the one we did? So
Yes,
realizing
sir.
that, you know, even the devil respects the word of God. You know, God's word is not a negotiation. It's not something that we think is a probability. Is it going to be? Is it not going to be? God's word is an authority. It is, and that's what I want us to approach every session of the word of God with a desire, with an appetite. God's word is the finality. There is no other debate after it. It's as though after a judge has decided, there's no more argument. Once you present your case in the court of law, the lawyers can adjudicate whatever they want to say. They can say anything. But once the judge has said, and this is my decision, once that decision has been made, If you go outside of the court and start to argue, it makes no difference. Oh, they didn't do this. The judge has made a decision. That decision is final. It is irrespective of the evidences that are later, maybe someone say, oh, I will have said this. That decision stands, especially when it's a major decision or major, experience or major ruling. Likewise, God's word is not a debate. God's word is not a probability. It's not one of those options. It's not an option. It's not maybe I would consider it is finality. Take it or leave it. It does not try to adjust itself to our situation. God's word is final. The Bible says God's word is the truth. There is nothing above it. There is nothing else. Whatever God says is final. So we can take his word to the bank. And that's why the devil is so much terrified, and afraid of Christians who are word believers, who are believers. I mean, people who believe the word of God, who take God as at his word. He is very terrified of them. He doesn't have any problem with Christians who don't have understanding. He doesn't have any problem with people who have been in church, hearing God's word and it's not changing anything in them. His greatest problem and threat will be those who do the word of God. And that's what the Bible talks about in when it talks about the parable of the sower. He said, those who, because of the word, were persecuted, the persecution that came as a result of the word. When you start to respond to God's word, when you start to do God's word, when you start to, adjust your lifestyle to feed God's word, I'm telling you, you become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. So this evening, by the grace of God, we're going to be starting a new, I would say, study. I was just, checking my heart, asking the Lord, where do we go from here? Even though the gift of the Spirit, that we saw, we did about five of them. We're just going to leave the remaining three till another day. We're going to look at another study. And I've had this material for a very long time. I mean, about 1 or 2 years now, when I ordered it for myself personally, and then I would say I've not kind of shared it with use this material to teach in most places. I've learned from it. I've learned from the principles, and over the years, even before I got the material. But then in the Spirit of God was wanting us to share and look into these areas. It is very important for us to know what we received when we received Christ. And it's very important for us to know how to function in this life as Christians in a body that is currently not regenerated. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, he said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, if you take that scripture and you go again to Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, 25, 26, 27, the Bible said, Lord God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. And again in Genesis 2, 7, the Bible says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, living being. Now, the point is this. When God said he wanted to create man in his own image, what was the image of God? And I can guarantee the image of God is not the way with two hands and two legs and two eyes. That's not the image of God. So what exactly did God create when he created man in his image? Because we are not the only ones that have two hands. Monkeys have two hands. Chimpanzees have two. They have the same physical, almost physical structure, but they are not human beings. Monkeys have two hands. Gorillas have two hands. They have two legs. They have probably five. I don't know how many fingers do they have. Is it? They have two eyes. They have one nose. They have one mouth. So are they created in the image of God? No. The only creation created in the image of God is man. Now, what exactly is the image of God? Because a lot of times people, when they want to, they want to, when they look at God, they look at God out of the human nature. Now, If you look at that scripture, Genesis 2:7, God created man from in his own image, God formed man from dust of ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And if you compare that scripture with Genesis 2 Corinthians 5:17, you realize that it says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. It was talking about a creation. So, what exactly is that creation? Now, many times, if we do not understand who we are in Christ or what we have received or what we have become, it becomes very easy for us to be carried away or to lose some of the things or benefits that God has given to us. Okay, I'll come to that question, but I want to give an example. A few years back, when I gave my life to Christ, I realized that whenever I'm praying or having my personal quiet time, I feel this awesome presence of God. It's as if God came into that room and I could feel it. It's tangible. You're studying the word of God. I was still more like a new, I wouldn't say new, but I was still growing. I was still very, very, like a very, at the initial stage of my Christianity. So that experience was so intense. My emotions were always involved in my relations, my study, the prayers, and the likes of them. I continued to do my quiet time. I always enjoyed it. I was doing it. But then suddenly, I started realizing that even though I was doing the same thing, I wasn't having the same experience. And I was asking myself, what's going on? Have I sinned? Why is it that I'm not feeling God like I used to feel Him? Why is it that I'm not feeling that, like that cold, that goosebumps that comes? Why is it I'm not feeling it? What's going on? I intensified my prayers. I expanded my word study, but it didn't change anything. So later on, I started growing. I asked the Lord, I said, what exactly was the reason why? What happened? And I want to say that one of the greatest assets of a Christian, one of your greatest assets, and I think we're not going to look at that at some point, is to hear the voice of God. No matter what you know, if you don't hear the voice of God, you are going to be very stranded. If the voice of God is key, my sheep hears my voice, and I know that they know my voice. You must know the voice of God, and this teaching, this period will help you, will open you up to understanding, the voice of God, to knowing the voice of God. And I give glory to God. I'm not saying that we know we have mastered everything or we have understood everything, but I can at least say to you that, yes, my wife is here, my children are here. It's not something that we're assuming. It's proven, it's tested. When I say to you, the Lord is saying to me this and that, it's not maybe an assumption of maybe something is not, or trying to guess what. Yes, sometimes you make some mistakes in terms of you need some level of accuracy. But at least generally speaking, you must know the voice of your master, of your father. So I asked the Lord, I said, what exactly is the problem? And he said to me, he said, as a newborn babe, you rely on the presence of your parents. That is what you rely on. In other words, when you give birth to a baby, it doesn't matter what the whatever the he wants to see the he wants to feel the mom. Even if he can see the parents around, he wants to feel that warmth, that kind of person, what you like. He wants to feel that she and take her upstairs. He wants to feel that comfort. He wants to feel that someone is carrying her. A baby feels. So even if you want to feed them, you have to carry them. Even if you want to bathe them, you have to carry them. If you don't carry them, they'll be crying. Temitope will give bear witness to that, and those of us who have not, maybe we have decade in that experience. You have to, if you leave them in the bath, sometimes the baby starts to cry. Then, I mean, generally speaking, their culture is they like feelings, carrying. When they start to grow a bit older, when they start to grow, they leave that area of feeling to a place where they can see. Now, they may not feel you, but as long as they can see you within their environment, they are okay. As long as they can see you, they are okay. So if you are beside them on the bed, they will be looking at you. The moment you take a step away, they start to cry. They allow you to put them on the bed or put them on the sofa, anywhere you want to put them, but they want to be seeing you. The moment they lose sight, they are gone. They start crying. So that's the second level of babies. The third level is a state they get to where they do not depend on your feelings. They do not depend on seeing you. All they need to hear is your voice. They won't know if you're around their environment. They want to hear your voice. So, for example, when they are in the house and everything gets quiet and they don't hear you, they say, "Mommy, Daddy." Once they don't hear your voice, they start crying. Now they don't bother seeing you. They know you are. At least they know you are somewhere, and they can identify that with your voice. He said, but that's another level. They've grown past feeling to sight to voice, hearing something. Now the other higher level is the one that goes with your word. So it doesn't depend on the feelings. It doesn't depend on the sight. It doesn't depend on the voice. Is the word. I am going out. I will come back in the evening, or I will see you soon. They would not cry. You drop them in school. As long as you've told them that you are coming back to pick them, they would rely on your word. Mommy said she's coming. Daddy said he's coming. So they believe it. Until you break your word, until your word becomes, that's why you must be very careful what words you say to children. Once you break that word, you lose their confidence and their trust. They lose their trust in you. It's a very valued asset for a child to trust the word of their parents. Very, very valued. Do everything you can, and I'm also speaking to myself as a father, do everything you can to strengthen your word, to retain the trust that your children have in your words. Amen. So they just learn by your words. I'm coming home today. And because you have proven it with time, the first initial state may be difficult. That's the way. But then later on, because they've seen you prove it, they trust that word. I'll travel. I'll come back in 2 weeks. And they'll be checking the time too. Once it's 2 weeks, they know that your mommy is coming back. That's another level. But there is another level. I'll leave that one for now. So when the Lord, these things I shared with you, nobody taught me. This is what God was telling me, that experience. So how do we apply this to our relationship with Christ? How do we apply this to our experience with God? Number one, as a babe, you depend on feelings, on emotions. You know, sometimes when we go to church or when we come to a place of worship, we depend on how do I feel? How does this make me feel? Does the pastor make me feel okay? How do I feel about the service? We are dependent on, and some Christians, babies, they are there for 20 years. Their feelings determines their response to the things of God. If they feel all right, they will pray. If they don't feel all right, they don't pray. If they feel okay, they will fast. If they don't feel all right, they don't fast. If they feel okay, they would give. If they don't feel okay, their feelings, they check is the way they feel per time that will determine how they respond. The day they feel all right, they will increase their offering. The day they don't feel all right, they will reduce it. So they go by feelings. That's the babyish level. And sometimes you can compartmentalize your life. You realize that some part of your life, you're not growing. Some other part, that's why Christianity is not like, you don't want, sometimes it's been immature in some areas. Sometimes people are mature in some areas, but they are immature in other areas. So whenever you see yourself depending on your feelings to respond to the things of God, that's a sign of immaturity. Now, secondly, because the things of God must be done by commitment, by most of the things of God is by command. Discipleship is a command. Church going is a command. You know, fellowshipping together or winning souls is a command. It's not how you feel. It's a command. So matured Christians respond to the things of God as by commitment, not by convenience or by emotions. Even when they feel it, when the Apostle Paul said, "When in hunger, in strife, in pain, in whatever find ourselves, we in any circumstance, we have learned to be abased. We know how to manage. It doesn't change who we are. That's the level of maturity. So the second phase are those who depend on sight. These ones, they don't see until they see something. They don't believe that God is there. when you lay hands on them, if they don't fall down or they don't see people fall down, they don't believe that it is God. They want to see something. They want to see some manifestation. And they're like that. People like that go to different, all sorts of programs, all sorts of crusades. And those things are not necessary. I want to just see something. If they don't see something, they don't believe that God is there or God is the one who is doing it. The third level are those who, you know, they have gone beyond sight to voice. They hear something. You know, these ones are close to spiritual maturity because they depend on what they can hear, you know, in terms of, how will I say it? You know, they are moved by what they hear, basically. Not necessarily the word of God. Maybe testimonies of other people, you know, they work with, it's more of relational relationships and all that connections, what they've had, what they've seen, what they've had other people experience, the testimony of other people, way, you know, strengthens their faith and their work and all that. They depend so much on what they can hear. They follow God by signs and also by wonders. That's the dimension, prophetic moves. They like things like that. The third level are those who go by the word of God. It doesn't have to be how they feel. They don't depend on how they feel. They don't depend on what they hear. They don't depend on, you know, what they see. They just see the word of God and they go with it. People like that excel in their work with God because the devil would not be able to use what they see to cheat them from what God has said. The devil will not be able to use how they feel to hinder them from participating in what God has provided or delivered to them. It's a very holistic way of life. And so God said to me, he said, the reason you don't feel those experiences is because you have moved from that level of being a babe. And that's why that experiences go. And you realize that when people are very new in Christ, when they're very new, you realize that many times it's as if when they ask for something, God hears them very quickly. You know, they just pray one simple prayer and then God hears them. And they realize that later on, after they began to grow, they don't just say it anymore. And it doesn't just happen like that. Now they now know that before they know principle of humility, submission, love, those things are not there. They just go, they just ask, and things just happen. And then they now wonder, oh, so when they start to grow, when God expects them to have gotten to a particular level of maturity, they realize that it doesn't work like that anymore. And they feel maybe something is wrong. No, nothing is wrong. God is saying to you, I used to feed you before. Now you need to now start feeding yourself. A time will come where it is not just what people say to you that will matter. It is what you learn from what God has said. What do you do? What they've taught you? How are you able to use it in your own personal life? That's the level God wants us to be. He said that we are not like tossed up and down by every wind of doctrine. The purpose of the pastor, the teacher, and the apostles is for the keeping of the saints. It's not to do the work of the saints. The keeping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You have the responsibility under God. You are not supposed to be spoon-fed as a Christian all through your life. He said, now that we expect you to be teachers, you are still... So God expects you at a certain level of your life in different capacities to be operating in ministry. Every Christian is called to ministry. Every Christian is called to ministry, is called to missions in different proportions, in different dimensions, but we are all called into the work of the ministry. I'm not saying that God is calling you as a pastor. I'm not saying God is calling you as a prophet. I'm not saying God is calling you as an evangelist, but I'm saying that God is calling you into the ministry. We are all called into the ministry. And the reason why you are not recognizing it is because you have not been prepared or trained. You have not been equipped to realize that that's who you are. And that's the purpose of the church. The church is not just a place you come to come and receive something. It's a place you come and contribute something. You are coming to give your own quota, your giftings and your callings and your talents. It's not what the pastor will do for me. I want them to pray for me. I want them to see vision for me. No. You are supposed to bring something on the table. But the Bible says the church will grow by what every joint supplies. You contribute your giftings. I'm not talking about money here. You know me very well. The last thing I'll be talking about in church is money. I know that when people grow, they will know what to do. So I'm talking about, I'm not money at all. No, this is not money. I'm talking about your contribution in terms of your personal, the deposits of God upon your life. Many of you don't even know that you're a prophet. God has given you prophetic grace. God has given you, you know, so much grace. You will not be able to see these manifestations until you begin to cultivate it. And that's what the church is supposed to do. That's why when you come to church, I know you're expecting is how I feel. The pastor, don't ever make your pastor be someone who is trying to impress you or who is trying to make you feel so good. I don't know how they're feeling in church today, because if I don't say what they want to hear, they will not come next week Sunday. Be someone that if it is chastisement, if it is correction, if it is edification, I will be there. Whatever it is that they are doing, this is where God has called me to receive my nourishment, and I will ensure that everything they supply here, I receive it. I'm telling you, when you come to a place where you are not waiting for something to come and don't want to do something for you, that I have come here to receive so that I can also be a blessing to my world. God has called each and every one of us into the ministry. You are a minister of the gospel. The Bible says that he has called us into the ministry of reconciliation. Even if there's nothing else, at least the ministry of reconciliation. You are the level you are now, many people, Christians are now, where they are just sitting in church and not doing anything, or they're just going to church for the purpose of being blessed, is a level whereby when we get to heaven, many of you will be collecting two strokes of the cane. God will be giving you. Say, what is that? What I all everything I died for? Is that all I died for? So that you can be going there and be receiving your blessed. It is a good thing, but that's not the level God wants us to remain. He wants us to come up higher to a place where we can be productive in ministry. We can be effective in the work that he has called us to do. And that's why we must understand how to walk, not just by sight, but by faith and by walking by the word of God. So you come to a place where the word of God is final, no matter in your marriage, in your life, in your career. When God's word becomes final, you are building on a solid foundation. When we have any issues, what does the word of God say about it? When we have any matter, what does the word of God say about it? When we can come to conclusion based on the word of God, we're going to be very, very safe. So now we started by asking, what exactly is the image of God? The image of God is not your physical body. The image of God is not the physical construction of a man. The image of God and the content, the construction, the material of God's image is the Spirit of God. Very, very important. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, God formed man from dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living. He wasn't living, he became a limb. Now, the physical body was brought from the dust. That's why from dust you came, from dust you would go. Everybody, if they put you, if you sleep too much on the bed, if you sleep too long on your bed, if you touch your bed, you start to see some sand on it. Dry, clean your bed in the morning, in the night, dusty, let it be smooth. Then sleep another 12 hours. Touch it around, you feel some sand on it. How many of us have tried it before? How many of us have felt it before? It's not the sand that came from your leg, because from dust you came. You may not have known it before. Is Mr. Baden saying something? Mr. Baden saying something?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
From dust you came, from dust you will return. So this physical body is just the container of who you really are. People spend so much hours. Ah, look at that, my body. Look at that, my face. What? Ordinary sand? You're painting sand.
I'm painting
you're painting sand. You're painting sand. Praise God. You're coloring sand. You know, you're just painting sand, because it's not going to last too long. 70 years, 75, 82, 90, 100, 120, it is gone. It is the fact. Your grandfather was once your age, if he lived as long as you are. It's not a new thing that people don't live forever. No matter what you want to become, you want to be everything, you are not going to be here forever. You know, I gave us an example yesterday or 2 days ago about one of the lecturers. He was up, rising top, you know, but again, just how that he's gone. What's the reason? Just an heart attack and he's gone. Now, everything is labeled for. He had his PhD, not just in Africa. He has risen. No, before you can say an African, I'm being honest, check out university structures in the UK. Before you can say an African got a level of, you know, becoming a PhD and lecturer and all that, it's very, very, I'm not saying general PhD, whatever. I mean, being a lecturer and all that, very in a very reputed university, not just some linguistic and Karo-Maritis course. I mean, proper courses that are they need good people there. It's very rare. But then this guy just gone. So the purpose of life must be defined. You must know why you are alive. You're not just alive to be eating and sleeping. You're not just alive to make other people wealthy. Because what I'm doing as an employee is I'm making other people wealthy. But that's all it is. Nobody sets up a business for you to come and for charity purpose. They did it because they want to make money out of it. And they need people who can contribute their time, which is their life, to make them live their own life. That's all business is about. So, who exactly, what exactly is the image of God? It is the life of God. The image of God is the life of God. And that life of God is Christ. Let's take note of that. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. In Genesis, John chapter 1, he said, it is the same light that lighted everyone that comes into this world. We're going somewhere. So the life of God is the image of God, but that life is concealed, is in a container. The container is our body. This physical body is not you. Your real identity is locked up inside. Sometimes people don't discover it till they die. They only focus on their shape, their color, their look. They never discover their real self because that is where your power is. Your real power, your real worth, your real personality is locked inside. You may not be looking like it, but you have it inside of you. Let's look at one scripture, and that's going to take us a bit further. We're going somewhere. Like I said, I'm introducing this course. I'm going to give us a topic of what we're discussing. And then in the next, few weeks, if you pay attention and if you follow some of the things we're saying, you'll be a different person and you'll be wondering how your life has been. You look at the devil in the face and say, what can you do? You're going to lay hands on yourself and say, I am healed. And that healing will be instant. You're going to be seeing things happen in your life like you've never seen before. We're going to see a scripture very quickly now. I read it to us in the course of the week. Let's open to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What does earthen vessels means? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus of also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, there's something I want to bring up again. All right. So he says we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and I therefore have spoken. We also have and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also, and all that for all things are for your sake. I'm going to where it says our inner man is renewed day by day. I want to bring up that scripture.
So it's verse 16.
Verse 16.
Yes, sir.
So he said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, take note, our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The first verse talks about the fact that this treasure, what is a treasure? He said, this treasure is in earthen vessel. So there is a treasure in a vessel. What is the vessel and what is the treasure? And he talks about again in verse 16. He said, for which cause to fear not, for though our outward man, what is the outward man? And say, yet the inward man. What is the inward man? The inward man is your true identity. And that is where the treasure is. The outward man is the hidden vessel, which perisheth day by day. Look at some of us now. You know, if you looked at yourself 10 years ago, 20 years ago, thereabouts, look at your shape, look at your height, look at your whatever it is. But look at how far you have come. Add another 20 years to your age. I'm telling you, you may probably be needing toothpick. Or you'll be needing maybe another 20 years or another 30 years or 40 years. You know, imagine what would your life, what this body is not getting younger in terms of it's expiring every day. But the quality of a man is not the is in his outward appearance, is the quality of his inward man. You may be looking old, but yet be healthy and strong on the inside. That's what God wants us to achieve. God knows that one day your physical body will give way because it's not created to live forever. But he wants you to be in a state where your inward man, because this inward man is going to have a new body. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, do you know that this you are going to have a new body? An eternal body, the body, they call it, what do you call it again? He said, when this one will swallow up the corruptible, incorruptible. The Bible talks about the outward body as corruptible. It talks about the body we are going to have in Christ, in new create later on after you know, we are saying as incorruptible. So we're going to have a new body eventually.
The celestial bodies are.
Okay, here, terrestrial and terrestrial.
Celestial
and terrestrial. So one is this one is terrestrial. This one, when you enter water, it will be drowning. This one, when you see fire, it will be burning. It's so weak that even if ordinary weather smash it, it starts to feel cold. This terrestrial. But there is going to be a celestial body. This kind of body doesn't have any limits. If it enters water, it will survive. If it enters fire, it will not burn. In fact, you cannot use a building to contain it. It's the kind of body that Jesus Christ had, that when they were all gathered after he died, he came into the building. Where did he, which door did he enter through? He was there. It was the same body that when the angel of God came to meet Peter, when the door flung open, that kind of body cannot be put in prison. That kind of body cannot be limited. That's it. That's a celestial body. We're going to have that body eventually. That body is going to carry our spirit. Our spirit will carry. That's the body that will give full expression to our spirit. Because people think that when they die, do you know that when you leave this world, you don't die. Your body just goes. Your spirit is alive. The quality of your spirit is still the same as what it was now. Oh, God. Now, whatever you are doing today would not end when you die. This Bible study we're having now, the knowledge that we are receiving, the experiences we're having, some of it will end with this world, but some of it will continue to eternity. The Bible says that bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable in all things. It has a promise for now, even in the life to come. So just because you are receiving, someone said, at the end of everything is for us to make heaven. It's not just for you to make heaven. It's to make heaven in the right condition. Is to make heaven in the right state. Because if God wanted us to die and just go to heaven, then probably he would have just taken us on the day we gave our life to Christ. But because he wanted us to be renewed, he wanted us to come to the fullness and the fullness of knowledge and understanding, that's why he kept us here. Okay, we're going somewhere. So that's not my focus today, but I just wanted to say that. So our physical body is just a container that houses the image of God. Our physical body is an eaten vessel. Our physical body is the corruptible. Our physical body is the terrestrial. Terrestrial means T-E-R-R, this earth, terrestrial. It is not the quality of who you are. It is the one that houses your spirit. You need your physical body to function on the earth. Nobody has a right to function. No spirit has the right to function on the earth without being housed in a body. That's why demons are looking for people to possess, because they can't function without the body. They look for anybody. The most efficient body for a demon is the human body. They can also possess cats. They can possess dogs. They can possess anything. That's why the Bible talks about when the demon was casted out, it went into the pigs, into the swines of pigs. And those ones, it can enter any physical body. It can even, I'm coming, it can enter trees. Anything that is living, that has a physical, but it is not, it is limited because it needs something that has a mind, that has a soul, that has the capacity, and that's why it uses men, human beings. So the physical body, human body, is your permission to function on the earth. Once that physical body expires, everything you are created to do on the earth ends, is completed, that is ended, that's it. You may still have many more purpose. God told Joshua, he said, now you are old, but there are still many things I have in store for you, but you are already old. It means that everything I have for you, and I wrote concerning, that I wrote in the volume of books, you can't do it anymore because you need your body to function on the earth. Your body is needed to carry on the ministry. And that's why I always tell people, make sure you live an healthy life. I have three major principles in life: healthy body, a strong spirit, and a sound mind. Don't abuse your body. Don't just think that you can do anything with your body and then you're going. The body is an asset. It's an asset. Your body is an asset. Eat healthy. I always tell people, eat healthy. Don't eat heavy. People like to eat heavy. Eat healthy. Check your nutrients. What are the nutrients? Check your food. What nutritional value is it adding to your body? Don't just be putting junks in your body. You eat anything, burger, you know, chips, all sort of fried things, all sort of junks on the streets. You don't even know who cooked it open. You just damage your body. People take all sort of medications and pills. They just damage their body. If you realize that this body is an asset, there are people in the hospital who want to have an healthy body. Don't abuse your body. That's your asset. Because once your body is incapacitated, the functions of your spirit is limited. What is the purpose of being called into ministry when you're in the hospital bed? What ministry are you doing incapacitated on the hospital bed with oxygen in your nose? That's why the devil is attacking the human body. The greatest attack on the human race is the human body. Apart from poverty, the next thing is health. And that's why there's no time. I've showed you in the book of Revelation where the Bible talks about the fact that God took hold of the spirit of death and poverty. Those are the two things that the enemy is using to buffet the human world. If sickness is out of the way and poverty is out of the way, what else is there? So you must protect your body. You must look after your body. And I'm not saying you should focus all the attention on the sand. I'm saying that take some time to look after your body. Be conscious of what you put, especially what you put in. Because what you put in goes into your body. Be conscious what you put into your mouth. Well, you just throw things there. People just throw things there and just sound and all that. So be conscious, because you need that body to sustain. Even if God has a purpose for your life, that purpose can only be effective while you are alive. Once you leave, that's it. Find time to rest. Find time to relax, exercise. Find time, eat good foods. They are not expensive. Eat good foods. They are not expensive. You know, and be conscious of what you are doing with your body. Very, very important. All right. That's a side note. So the image of God is resident in our spirit. So when God gave us life, he did not put that life in our body. He did not put that life elsewhere. He put that life in our spirit. And let's go now to our key text for this particular class, which is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. Hallelujah. Okay, so it says, and the very God of peace. Now, some other things we have said about, you know, before we got to that passage, they are all still buttressing the same thing, you know, where it says, abstain from all appearance of evil, you know, prove all things, hold fast what is good. But at the end of the day, he said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I read that again. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. So we're looking at the construction of the human being, which is his spirit, his soul, and his body. That's who you are. You must know who you are. And you must know the function of each of these particular elements. I've talked a few about the body. And a lot of times, all the advertisements you see on TV is all appealing to your body. How you feel. Many people today go to the gym because they want to look good. Most women spend more money on how they look than how they feel. You know, they buy things that are not, and it's not out of way to look good. You know, you don't want to appear shabby, you don't want to appear rough, you don't want to appear, at least part of protecting, honoring the body God gives you, to look after it. That's part of it. But then there is a soul and there is a spirit. It's important to know this because most of the experiences you're going to have with God is never going to be in your soul. It's never going to be in your body. Most of the experiences you're going to have is not going to come from your soul. It's not going to be in your body. But you have to understand these individual elements. So the construction of the human body, soul, and spirit. Now, I've said a few times, your body is the physical, external part of you. That's what everybody sees. Where is Solomon? Where is Joshua? Where is Faith? Where is Princess? They want to see you. Your body represents you. It's the physical presence of yourself. That's what represents you physically. But then you have a soul as well that people cannot see. Nobody sees your soul. But your soul, everything I'm saying, for example, if you go to class or you're being taught most things, they are coming into your soul. Your soul is a seat of your reasoning, your emotions, your will, your intellect, and again, your conscience. Nobody sees it, but you can feel it. Your soul is where you feel love and feel unlove. That's where feelings come from. The soul is where information is stored. For example, now, if I say, where is your brain? A surgeon can dissect your brain. There are brain surgeons. There are liver surgeons. There are whatever it is surgeon. Is there a soul surgeon? Someone who can say, let me go into your soul and remove all the junks that is there. No, but it exists. Nobody can open your brain now and begin and see where mathematics is arranged or where philosophy is arranged. They won't see, they only see blood and tissues. But yes, there is something somewhere. Where is that thing? All the things I learned in school, all the things that where is it? All these food ingredients that I combine. Can anybody see it? Nobody can open your brain and say, oh, so that's where they do, that's where the formula is. Nobody can see it. It is stored somewhere, away from the human eyes. That's your soul. The information is stored. That's why you can cut off a man's, you know, body. You can't transfer. You know, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is a very important lesson. If you take the brain of a scientist, you know, they normally do brain, you know, it's possible to, I think science has got to that point where they can swap brains. Pastor Ajayi, am I in order? Is there any technology that allows us to swap brain?
Not yet.
Well, we're going to get there soon, where they'll be able to transplant brain.
We are almost getting there, but not yet. All the one we are watching on video are fiction.
Okay. So if they take the brain of a dullard and they remove his brain and they put the brain of a scientist, will he be able to perform as a scientist? That's a question we must begin to think about.
There are much to working as a scientist than the brain, emotion,
Okay.
the heart, and so many other things.
Now we are getting there. So even if you take the brain of a scientist and put it, say this boy, you know, like say no notebook, may we help us. So you now say this person is about to die. Let's take his brain and put it in this one. He doesn't immediately become a scientist because where the information is stored, it's not just in the brain, it's not just in the physical structure of the brain. That's how many times, you know, even when they do some surgical extent transplants, many times it doesn't always come, it's not always working because what it takes, for example, to keep that liver alive is just beyond just the physical. The person's emotional state of being also complements the function of his liver. So if you take somebody who is in a marriage, for example, I like using marriage as an example because I love marriage, you know, and I like talking about marriage. So if you take a married man who is in his home and he's enjoying his relationship with a married woman, she loves her husband, the husband loves, they're enjoying themselves, there are challenges, but they are resolving it. They work together in unity and in love, and then the liver is functioning well and everything is all right. Do you know that part of the function of the liver is also the state of mind of that particular person? His state of mind, his emotional experience, his way he feels also helps the liver to function well. If that same liver is taken and put in a depressed person, a healthy liver taken from a lively person or a very peaceful person, and you put it in a grumpy person, sometimes that liver will start to fail. Because what it takes to keep that organ alive goes beyond just the physical part alone. There are other parts connected that they cannot transfer by science. Science can do a biological transplant, but they cannot do a mental transplant. They can't do a intellectual transplant. Very, very important. So our soul is where the spirit, the is where the emotion is, where you feel loved. And you can feel the soul, you can feel the body. For example, the body can talk to you when it is hungry, it can talk. The body can be felt, you can touch it. You can talk to the body. If you change the temperature of your house, you can make your body to react. Sound makes the body react, things like that. The soul, sometimes words can hurt more than even cane or even beating. People say things, and that word just turns you off. It's as if you are in a very high spirit, you just came down crashing by what somebody said. That word touched your soul. Sometimes you are very low, but somebody said something, and then that word excited, you know, lifted you up because the soul can be felt. Now, some translations or some Bible scholars have assumed that the soul is the same as the spirit. But if you do further study into the Word of God, you realize that the soul and the spirit have separate functions. The soul and the spirit both have separate functions. The soul functions separately from the spirit. But it is, I don't want to say, you know, they did their best to try to interpret it, but going further into the Word of God, you realize that there is always a demarcation. The Bible, for example, talks about the fact that God's word is sharp, like a two-edged sword, piercing down into this bone, the marrow, and all that. It's clear that there's a difference between the soul and the body. And if you hold the school of thoughts that the soul is the same as the spirit, it will be very, very challenging to identify or to operate in some of the dimensions that God has prepared for us as Christians. The image of God is the spirit of God. And when we gave our lives to Christ, I'm going somewhere now. When we gave our lives to Christ, God impacted that image into us. Pastor Bishop, can please help me be in charge of the light, please. God impacted that he replaced our old nature, which is the nature of sin, the one that fell and all that, with a new nature. And that nature is the life of God. We're going somewhere. Now, the life of God was impacted into man when we gave our life to Christ. But that same life was the same life that God impacted into Adam, the life of God. But then he lost it because of sin. But then that was restored back to us when we gave our life to Christ. So our new creation is the image of God, is the nature of God. You have the life of God in you. You are born of the Spirit of God. Your material, your real, your spiritual identity now is Christ. We're going so. And I want us to pay very keen attention. Our spiritual identity now is Christ. That's our spiritual identity. It is different from our soul. When we gave our life to Christ, our body was not born again. Our soul was not born again. In other words, if you used to have bad informations in your mind, in your soul, those informations are still going to be there. Being born again does not take away the imaginations. And that's why the devil always uses how we feel, uses the informations that has been stored in our soul to capitalize on, oh, that if indeed you're a child of God, why are you thinking like this? If you're born again, why are you still feeling like this? Because feeling is not associated to your spirit. Your spirit doesn't feel anything. Your spirit is not emotional. Your spirit is not, you can't feel your spirit. You can't feel it. You can't see it. You can't touch it. It is spirit. It's a major line between your spirit. There's a major line between your spirit and your soul and your body. You can feel your body. So when you're hungry, you know. When you're hot, you know. You can feel your soul. When you're happy, you know. When you're not happy, you know. When you know something, you know. When you don't know it, you know you don't know it. But your spirit is in another dimension. So you cannot use the experience of your soul to judge the condition of your spirit. Just because you are not happy does not mean something is wrong with you. Just because you had some experiences does not mean that you have been separated from God. We're going somewhere. This, I'm trying to be very, very careful with the way I don't want to go too far so that I don't say some things and without putting some foundation to it. And then later on, we're trying to unpick some of those things. So I want to be very careful. But let's go again to the scripture in the book of John, I think. John chapter 3, verse 6. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, so the Holy Spirit was the one who gave birth to us when we gave our life to Christ. When you are born into this world, your dad and your mom, you know, were instrumental to being born, you being born, particularly you being born by your mom. So it is flesh, natural. When we were born again, the Holy Spirit of God gave birth to us. And that personality, that identity, that image is image of God. God cannot give birth to something that is out of him. If it is the spirit, he gave birth to the spirit. If it is the flesh, it gave birth to the flesh. Flesh gave birth to flesh. Spirit gave birth to spirit. So you are a spirit being. That's your identity. I need to make that clear. We are not natural people. We are not physical. We are not emotional people. We are people of the spirit. We are spiritual. When I see somebody is spiritual, it's not because that person can pray. It's not because that person can fast. It's not because that person knows how to quote Bible. It is because that person is born in the image of God. A spiritual man is a man who is born of the Spirit of God. However, when he begins to do the things of the Spirit, that's when people now say he's a spiritual person. He's a spiritual man. But he was a spirit from the day he was born. And that's how the Bible says that, you know, in worshiping God, he said, we can only worship God in spirit and in truth. A natural man does not understand the things of the spirit because they are stupidity, they are foolishness to him, because they are spiritually discerned. Some of the things I am saying, or some of the things we are sharing in the word of God, if you say the same thing to somebody who is not born again, they can't understand it because there is nothing in their mind that cannot make them understand it. But when you speak to a person who is born again, they would understand, they would know, they will agree with it, they will receive it. A natural man cannot receive the things of God because there is nothing in his mind that allows him to receive those kind of level of information. Because the things of God are spirit. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. They are not natural words. When you start talking about the word of God, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God. If you start talking about that to a natural man, he doesn't understand. He doesn't even agree with it. And do you know what? Many times, you don't always understand the things you agree with as a Christian. It's not everything that I saw from the word of God that I understood, but I agree with it. I grew to understand it, but I agreed with it from the beginning because your spirit agrees with it. You may not understand everything, but you agree with it. That's how a spiritual man functions. He doesn't wait until he understands. He agrees, and then he grows into understanding. So God expects us to begin to walk in the consciousness of our spirit because we are new creations. When you are born of your father and your mother, natural, biological father and mother, you are of the flesh. Flesh gave birth to flesh. But now that we are born of the Spirit of God, we are always with different identity, and God wants us to function in that new identity. And because most of the operations of God in our lives would not begin from the place of our soul or from the place of our body. We're not going to feel it. It's going to start from your spirit. And there's a way to interact with your spirit. There's a way to interact with your soul. There's a way to interact with your body. So many people are trying to assess their spirit with their soul. In other words, they are trying to feel the things of God. You are trying to use your soul to assess the things of God. It's not going to work. Some people are trying to use their physical body to assess the things of God. For example, during praise and worship, some people think that it's by dancing, by shaking your body, by being physical, that's when you are really doing something spiritual. Now, you have to do it with understanding. If that dancing is not done with understanding, it's just aerobics, it's just exercise. It may make you sweat, but that's all you get from it. Because there is no spiritual meaning to what that person is doing. That's why the Bible says those that worship him must worship him in spirit. Only a Christian can praise God. A non-believer can praise God. Because praise is a spiritual thing. Worship is a spiritual thing. Prayer is a spiritual thing. And even the language that we use, the communication tools that we use in praying, they are spiritual tools, they are spiritual weapons, they are spiritual resources. So, very important for us to know that there is a difference between our body, our soul, and we must operate those three on earth. You don't use your spirit to determine, for example, yes, your spirit is an asset, educationally, intellectually, you know, it can impact your, and we're going to get there. Like I said, this is just the beginning. We're just laying foundations and all that. Your spirit can impact other areas of your life, but you also need to develop your mind. You know that the way you feel now is based on information that you have in your mind. How you see yourself, how you see life, how you react to things is based on the way your mind has been constructed. Either through generational experiences, historic experiences, educational experiences, or personal experiences. That's why you make your decisions. That's what has informed the way you are. If you give birth to a child in the palace, it's going to take a palace mindset. If you give birth to a child in the prison, it's going to take a prison mindset, except there is a new type of knowledge. Except there's an introduction, a new type of knowledge that is impacted into that child that will make that child begin to think in a particular way and think differently. Though, we also must know that just because you're in an environment does not mean that you have to, people will definitely take the culture of that environment. Again, there are, you know, different, you know, I would say different things that contribute to that, but the bulk of it comes from the information within our environment. So our mind, you know, has to be renewed. And we're going to get there. And I just want to lay a foundation tonight. our mind is one of the major barriers to operating in the things of the spirit and to working with God. In fact, you can start to hear the voice of God tonight. You can start to see God like you've never seen him before when your mind is in the right order. But it's going to be a lot of battle. The devil is not going to give up on your mind so easily. It's never going to give up on your mind so easily. In fact, if you receive a word that will change your life, immediately it will set up experiences in your life that will make that word fly away immediately. It doesn't want you to retain it. This information we are discussing now, this the word of God we are sharing now, I'm telling you, give it to tomorrow morning. Something will just happen tonight that will just suck up every information you have received, because the devil is afraid of you coming to the knowledge of Christ, because Christ is in your spirit. You are born again. The life of God is in you. He does not want you to come to the knowledge of that. He wants you to relate with yourself based on how you feel, based on how you think, based on the way you see yourself. He never wants you to know that you're a new, I'm not talking about quoting Bible. Know it as a matter of revelation that you're a new creation, that there is a life in you. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead lives in you, he shall vitalize your mortal body. He knows that there is power in that revelation. And that's why he will do everything he can to stop you from accessing it. That's the way it works. That is true. That is one Christian who is revived, who Bible says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Who is free is a danger and can cause serious havoc to millions in the kingdom of God. It can cause serious havoc. Serious havoc. Look at men of God, for example. Look at great men of God, you know. I mean, our fathers in faith. One person commanding millions. Imagine such a man never coming to that knowledge of what God has called him to do. Millions, sometimes billions. Imagine if people like that. It is not impossible for one man to influence a generation. It's not impossible. There is life and there is power in our spirit. And everything that God has done, Bible says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. They are not in your emotions. They are locked up in your spirit. It's time for us to allow those things to begin to come up and begin to find expression in our day-to-day. Praise the Lord. Okay. So in summary tonight, we're going to look at, I think, one or two scriptures. Like I said, tonight is just a night of introduction. It's going to get deeper as we go further. But it's important, just like we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that we have to say that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body. Your body is physical. Your soul is a place of emotions, of your intellect, of your will, of your reasoning and your conscience. But your spirit is a place of God. Your spirit is where God's presence is. Your spirit is where your salvation is. We're going somewhere. And that brings me to the point. Now, I raised a question a long time ago. And this question, I'm not the first person to ask this question. If somebody was at gunpoint and they said to him, say no to Jesus or you go to hell. And the person says no. Is that person going to heaven or going to hell? Don't answer it. We're going to come to, when we get to the, at least maybe to the middle or the quarter of this teaching, some of these questions, we don't even need to be answering us again. And I'm not just saying answering it. You yourself begin, if you pay attention, begin to walk in that understanding. You will now begin to understand why the word of God is so powerful and why many Christians don't value it. Imagine you having such a dynamite in your hand and we don't even value it. If you want to find any answer to health, people quickly look at Google. What's Google saying about these goosebumps? But what's the Bible saying? What's God saying about it? Because God's word is finality. Praise the Lord. Okay. So again, if you look at John chapter 6, verse 63. John 63 says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word reveals spiritual realities. If you ever want to know the mind of God, if you ever want to know the secret of the kingdom, it's locked up in the word of God. And by the grace of God, we're going to be going further into it. I'll be sharing the material with us, which will become like a material that we're going to be our guide throughout this class. Some of the things I've shared tonight, I've had to recourse to it, some majorly, from what the Lord has taught me over the years, but I'll be sharing this material with us so we can have personal access to it and, we can all be on the same page. The goal is at the end of the day, we all come to the unity of the faith and we're not all, tossed around because we need these things for now. We need this. We are in seasons and times where the devil is throwing everything out to buy the soul of men. He's throwing everything out. He's playing his joker. All he wants is your soul. All he wants is your soul. All he wants is your soul. What shall he profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So he puts a lot of pressure on people to become something. And he knows that they cannot become that thing until they sacrifice something. And then he makes it look as if it is not anything wrong to sacrifice what is important. Value your Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Let us pay attention. We're in the last days, and God wants us to begin to pay attention to what he's doing, what God will be doing. Do you know that I realized, I used to think before that when Jesus Christ comes, it's going to be like a thief in the night. And I realized it's not so for Christians. For unbelievers, it's going to be like a thief in the night. But for those of us who are born again, we are going to know when God is coming. When he's about to come, we begin to sense it. No, something is happening. He's just around. We all begin to know. We begin to know that, yes, something is about. And I want to say to you now, many Christians, we are in different level of perception. But there's a higher level of perception now that we are even now closer to the second coming of Christ than ever before. And it's so close as a bad pang when a lady is having contraction. Sometimes they will say it's 10 hours to go. Sometimes they say it's 5 hours. Sometimes they say it's when it begins to get too close to the time, when you start to see that doctors are standing by, that's when you know that, yes, the baby is about. When they say, "Mom, it's pain," they say, they check, you see them walking around, you just know that your time has not come. when you are screaming, you say, "It's coming, the baby is coming, the baby is coming," and you see, they come and check, and they go away, and say, "Doctor, this thing, please, let's see other patient." Just know that your time is not close. But when you see them begin to put on their gloves, know that your time is here. We know what's happening now. People are putting on their gloves in the spirit because the time is about to happen for the master and for Christ to return. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be afraid. If you're born again, you're a new creation. You are not perfect. You are not the best in the physical, but your spirit is perfected. We're going to come to all that, and you have reasons to rejoice. It's not about how many things you've done right or done wrong. It's about what Christ has done right on your behalf that you have now accepted by faith. Praise God. All right. I think that's it. We'll draw the curtain. I want us to always keep the time on our studies. So I don't know. The floor is open for, contributions, for questions, for comments. Just before we go. Okay. I've identified you one. Faith is raising up a hand here. So I'll take her first.
So when Pastor Joshua was saying about that the devil could put it into anything, even when he can put it into trees, people, it's true because when on the back in the centuries, Paul was there, and then there was this girl who said she could tell future, but the servant was deceiving her, that she ran, put around her neck, so then the Paul wasn't happy because he said, "In the name of Jesus, I command it." And then the snake from the thing, the spirit came out, and it showed it was blue, and then it slithered away.
Okay. It shows you've been watching a lot of Superbook. All right. So it's just to say that the human body can contain you know, is always the best place for demonic agents to always want to possess. We must protect our body. And many times, I just want to add to that. Do you think that demons are going to come to you when you go and eat sacrifice on the Tori Tabetha? It doesn't happen like that. He said, while he spake unto me, his spirit came unto me. Sometimes those interactions come from even movies. You can take the spirit, doors, anything that gives your eye, it's anything that opens your, you know, natural things can be a door to spiritual experiences. Some people, it is relationships. Sometimes through relationship, you know, sometimes different things open the door, but sometimes majorly it is through what will open our eyes, our ears, our gates that will be used to gain access into whatever we do. So let's protect your eyes, protect your ears, you know, and the Lord will help us. Okay? Any other question or contribution? We have 14 minutes before left. If you don't have any, we're going to round it up before the 14 minutes is over. Any questions or contribution, or what did we gain? And I have an assignment for us here. I want you to please have a personal notebook that we can use, that you can be referencing for each of these studies. One day I may just ask us and say, please, when you're coming this next week Sunday, bring your Bible study notes. I'd like to see it. This is a church. This is not just, we're not just attending service. My own goal is not to see people just come to church and be jumping and then go home. My own goal is to see that everyone, you know, comes to the fullness of God's purpose for their life, and they come to the maturity of the spirit, and that's it. You know, that's the ultimate goal. It's not just saying, okay, you jump, you go, come back again next Sunday, let me bless you. Come again next Sunday, let me bless you, let me change your story. No, it is so that you can be the one doing those things in your own life from time to time, okay? So get a note, and I'm going to give us an assignment. Please write those assignments in your notes, and hopefully very soon we're going to come back to, we're going to refer to this assignment. Now, the first assignment is, where if you look at 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23, it talks about the sanctification. It said, and the very God of peace sanctify. So what does that word sanctify mean? That's the first question. I want us to pay attention to that. And we'll be asking you to share with us next week, next week Thursday. And the second question is, it said, and I pray your whole body and spirit and body be preserved. How can we be preserved? Those are the two major questions that we're going to be dealing with. I want you to use that scripture, expand on it, and then when we meet again next class, we're going to be able to further go on this. And I hope we've been blessed tonight. Have you been blessed tonight? Apart from the ones who are raising their hands here.
Something else.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is like what I learned.
Yes, sir.
This is what I learned during church service.
I said don't be writing in papers, writing in
books. This is what I learned during church service. So first level, feel, because if a baby hears the parents, they will have to feel them to like know if they're there.
I know you have a lot of things, Faith. I'm gonna collect it from you, and I'm gonna let me have yours as well. All right, good. All right, I'll go through it. Praise the Lord. You can have your seat.
Hallelujah.
All right, it's been a wonderful night, and I believe that God has impacted us in different ways. The things that we have learned, I want us to meditate on it, and I want us to go back and begin to think about it. Don't forget, you know, all the things we've said. You know, we are physically on earth, but we have a spiritual identity. We are the substance, the material of our creation is not natural. It's not anything natural. It's spiritual. And we must begin to realize that what would keep us, what would sustain us, and what will make us effective in the things of God are those spiritual materials as well that God has given to us. You cannot use a natural tool to cultivate the grounds of the spirit. You need to engage spiritual tools as God has freely given them to us. And I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. All right. I would assume in the absence of no other maybe question, comment, contributions, I want us to just bow our heads and begin to thank the Lord for the opportunity is giving us tonight. Let's say, Father, we thank you for your grace, for your glory, for your purpose. Ask the Lord for greater dimensions and greater depths. Ask him that from this moment, you begin to experience him in your life like never before, that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened more than ever before, that you're going to come to the knowledge and the fullness of God's stature for our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. All right, just before Pastor Peace continues, I would like Pastor Shea to round off this study with prayers, and then we're going to take the announcement and round off the service.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we bless God for the teaching of today. It's a wonderful one. It has exposes us to understand how we are, what we are made of. And you know, first think we are only made of brain to calculate 1 + 1, but we are much more than the physical body. We have soul, we have spirit. And even most of the time, things do not exist until they exist in the spiritual realm. Even if you, I always tell people, if you want to draw a box, that picture of the box must be in your mind. If you ask three people to draw a box, it will always be different because they will draw it based on the picture they have in their mind. So we thank God for that. And spiritually, if our mind is not properly shaped, clean, and purged with the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ, what we'll be revealing to the world will be something completely outside the will of God. Thank you, Pastor, for the teaching. It has blessed us greatly. And I pray as many as we watch it later, they will be blessed through the message in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you for tonight's Bible study. Thank you for our pastor that you have used to teach us. Thank you for the wisdom that have come out of him and the virtue that have come out of him. I pray that you will restore back in multiple fold in the name of Jesus. Amen. King of glory, we thank you for everyone that had been under this teaching, that you will grant us more understanding. And you open our mind to be able to put into practice everything we've learned tonight, that it will transform our life so that we can reveal the glory of God and the purpose of God for us. So let it be in the name of Jesus. And I pray for as many as not, they are not part of this teaching tonight, as they will be watching it wherever it is placed on the social media, wherever. I pray for them that the Spirit of God will come upon them, will open their mind of understanding and help them to assimilate everything that was taught. And that which had been taught shall become useful unto them and yield fruit unto them in multiple fold, fruit of righteousness, fruit of holiness, fruit of growth and advancement, fruit of success in the mighty name of Jesus. That all of us together, we shall be exemplary Christian of a note. We shall be example for the world to see in glory, in holy living, in righteousness, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
What are you, Pastor Peace?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Want to appreciate God for today, how God has helped each one of us again in the first sword of the Spirit for year 2024. God has been faithful. We should not forget the assignments that our senior pastor gave to us. We should research on it and pray God will help each one of us in Jesus' name. Also, we also cited Sister Busola. I hope the weather is not too cold. I can see you are fully kitted. God will continue to strengthen you more and more in Jesus' name.
I saw her.
I said that she's working with her full coat on. Well, God bless each one of us in Jesus' name. And just a few announcements. Tomorrow is Friday. Because for some 2 days now, we have not been joining the night prayer. So this night, we are going to distribute it by God's grace. Brother John will be taking the Friday morning session. Mrs. Obadu will be taking the half 9:30 on Friday. So 9:30, when it is 9:30, you call out the prayer so we can pray together as a church. And Brajo will be taking the morning session prayer, 6 a.m. to 6:30. God bless each one of us in Jesus' name. We should not forget the Great Britain Four Square Global Prayer is coming up this Saturday by 4 p.m. UK time. So I'm going to send out the flyers on the platform. The login details is attached to the flyers. Please, let's try as much as possible to join and connect with other Foursquare members globally in the UK. And I pray God bless each one of us in Jesus. If you don't forget, Sunday is our glorious service. Let's come early to church. Let's invite one another. And let's check on one another also. Let's send message. Go on the church WhatsApp group. Look at the numbers. Look at the names of those we have seen for so long. Check on them. Brotherly loves, let's continue. Check on them. Send them message. You can even call. Just send them a WhatsApp message. Bro, sister, I just check on you. We are okay. That's all. And as you do that, God bless each one of us in Jesus' name. If there's any questions or anything that is bothering your mind, or you want the Church of God to know what you're passing through, what you're going through, our lines are open. You can get in touch with any of the leaders. Also, like I mentioned, Stabusala is one of the leaders of the church. Get in touch with her, send her a message, let her know what you are passing through. As you know, Pastor too is always open, arms open to listen to you in any areas that you want to ask or any question that is bothering your mind, both spiritually, physical, anything. And I pray the wisdom of God is always in the house to work in each of us lives, to give a godly and a goodly counsel. And I pray as you do that, the Lord bless each one of us in Jesus' name. In 1 minute, let's just say thank you, Jesus, again for how God has helped us tonight. Let's appreciate God. Let's give him praise. Let's bless his name. Let's say, Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for strength, for your grace, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing forth your word to us again in another dimension. Open our reality that we are not just a physical body, but we are a spirit being. We appreciate your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The grace for us, oh Lord, to always preserve this body, that this body will not be able to do the work that God has given to us effectively. The grace, this discipline that we need, that we'll receive it tonight as a church, as a family, in the name of Jesus Christ. And 1 minute, let's come to our nation, unto the care of God, unto the care of God, that God will declare your peace. For some days now, there has been a lot of different kind of storm naming, giving it different names. Let's tell God that every members of Love First Square Church Manchester, our extended family members, our family, all our loved ones, they are preserved, they are protected. Even during this weather, they are preserved, they are protected, nothing broken, nothing missing, in the name of Jesus. I don't know your expectation again tonight. Tell God that, God, as I go to bed tonight, this is what I want. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I want to hear good news. Open your mouth and tell it to your father. Communicate to your father. Talk to him. For just 1 minute, Jesus, we give you praise. We worship you. We exalt your name. We magnify your holy name. We declare your peace, O Lord, upon our country. We declare your peace upon every sector. We declare your peace, O Lord Jesus. Even pertaining to this weather, we declare your peace in the name of Jesus. Every storm, whatever name it is being called, there is a name that's above every other name. I will mention the name of Jesus. Say, peace be still in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we give you praise. We appreciate your name. We magnify your holy name. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Over to our pastor, sir.
All right. Just before we share the grace, I just also want to remind us to take the opportunity when we, as much as we can, to evangelize. There are a few tracts available. I'll appreciate if Sister Busola can bring them to church on Sunday, a few so we can share them. And everyone can have at least some copies. We can distribute on the train, on the bus, on the streets. At least every week, we must always share the gospel with someone. Someone just around you may need that, you know, may be ready, may be a fertile ground. Let's sow the right seed into them. I know Pastor Peace was dodging the responsibility as one of the key leaders. She said, everybody's name, she didn't call her name, but it is well. The Lord will help us in Jesus. It's very, very important, that part of evangelism, that we are deliberate and intentional about it. You know, if cannot say something, which every one of us should be able to say something, at least give a tract out. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jews and also to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. God has called us and let us be effective in it. The Lord will help us in Jesus Christ. And Father, we give you thanks again tonight. We give you in Jesus' name. Together, please, let's say the grace. The grace
of Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Surely, God's goodness and his mercy shall be the days of our lives and the temple of God and ever. Amen.
God bless us. I'll try and see if we can send this recording on the platform. Please help us share it. I want the young people, if possible, let them not be absent from the Bible studies. You know, there's no, the word of God, it doesn't have child or young. Everybody is born again. Who is born again can understand it. They may not be able to fully understand, but they can receive it. They can receive with time. It starts to make sense. It starts to make sense. So it's something like a baby. When you start talking to them, they don't speak the same day. But with time, they start to articulate what you have been saying over the years. So let's ensure that they are here. Not, it's not just for those of us who are here. Everyone, I always ensure that our children are on ground. They carry their books, their paper, their Bible. No matter what, they are hearing something. That word makes a difference in their life. God bless us. Let's have a wonderful evening. We'll meet again tomorrow morning. Shalom.
Amen. Amen. Bye.
Bye. All right.
Delight. Bye. Bye.